today on Real Radio.
See, we read that in our Western culture and might think, well, if I have an abundant life, then my house is going to be on the lifestyles of the righteous or the rich and famous or whatever, or I'm going to have a pot of gold at the end of my rainbow, or in my life there'll never be any bumps. That's not what it means.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In fact, we're in a mini-series taken from the first 8 verses of chapter 5, where the apostle writes about how different our heavenly bodies are going to be from the ones we have right now. In fact, he uses the word tent to describe our temporal earthly bodies. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now continuing his series of lessons called Tell Me More About Heaven.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Tell me more about heaven. He says, for we know that if our earthly house, this body, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Verse 3. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found unclothed or naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed. I'll explain that. Don't worry. That mortality may be swallowed up by life. That he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Listen, our previous study, we went through 1, 2, 3 points, and we looked at verse 1, which brought about all 3 points. And today, from verse 2 down to verse 8, we have 3 additional points. So we pick it up in our study, Tell Me More About Heaven, by looking at our 4th point. Note taker, jot it down in your notes. Our 4th point is this. Why should we talk about? Why should we get excited? Why should we look into things about heaven? Well, number 1 is because of this. Because we want to be there, and it is for life. Will you mark that down? Heaven is forever. When I say because I or you and I, we want to be there for life, we are talking about as Christians, mind you. Watch this. As Christians, we live in this world, but we have eternity in mind. We live here and now, but we know that there is a time coming when you and I will enter into eternity. So when we talk about life, we're talking about, as believers, this is fun, watch this. As Christians, you and I have received eternal life from the Lord Jesus Christ by believing in him. And we have that eternal life now. The Bible says in 1 John, these things have been written that you might know that you have, past tense, eternal life. So because of that, that is the very catalyst for you and I to live in this temporal world with eternity in mind. We have it, but we're going to it. And that is the very propellant, that's the catalyst that causes you and I to live and to be who we are today. And part of that, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, the thief, a reference to Satan, does not come but except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly, a super abundant life. Listen, church, when does that begin? Now. See, we read that in our Western culture and might think, well, if I have an abundant life, then my house is going to be on the lifestyles of the righteous or the rich and famous or whatever, or I'm going to have a pot of gold at the end of my rainbow, or in my life there'll never be any bumps. That's not what it means. An abundant life now is living today in our world with eternity in mind, and we have heaven as our destination. And because of that, we'll get into it in our future studies. We can be bold, we can be excited, And we can be walking with Jesus like never before. That's coming up in our next study. But today, it's this. Mark it down. Look at verse 2. You and I want to be there in eternity, forever, and experience eternal life. Yes, but watch this. You and I right now are fighting against sin. Will you write that down? What is one of the proofs that we're Christians? Is that we're fighting against sin. Did you know that? It says right here, for in this, he's referring to the body, the brevity of life here in this world, we groan. In this, we groan. The word here means to groan. It means to sigh, to be grieved, to be pressed into an attempted pressing into a mold. That is that this world and sin and all is trying to get us to be brought down under its grip. We all know what that's like. How many of us have been tempted? Have you ever been tempted? Rest of you? Rest of you are lying. You're being tempted to lie, and you caved into lying a moment ago. That fast, boom, wham, you lied by not raising your hands. Listen, we've all been tempted. The Bible says we all sin. We don't like to admit that, but we sin. And the Bible here is talking about us groaning over the fact that you and I are warring against sin. Now, granted, I just mentioned that horrible abortionist who's a serial killer. That's one thing. Doesn't that make you sick? I mean, look, you don't have to be a Christian to be sick over that. That's flat out wrong. That's bad enough. The world is off its rails. That's bad enough. This verse is speaking to you personally, privately, to me personally and privately. It's talking about my sin and your sin. We groan. This is one of the great hallmarks of being a Christian, is that one of the proof positive marks is that you hate your sin. See, I thought I was a Christian. You are a Christian if you hate your sin. This is a big deal. People who are religious, they don't hate their sin. They send up a storm and then they just go confess it. Or they send up a storm and they send money. They send up a storm and they do some sort of a repentance or penance. You hear what I'm saying? There's no relationship. Listen, the fear of God, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. But we hear that word before we're Christians. Fear God. Ooh, God is going to beat me up. I fear God because he can hurt me. That's how an unbelieving world thinks. Now, as a Christian, I fear sin because I don't want to hurt God. And yet that hatred for sin doesn't keep me from sinning. I wish it did. I wish I could tell you today that driving in Southern California is not an issue for me. Look, everyone has their thing. That's my thing. In this state, I wish we had driving standards that were just below Formula One or NASCAR. I think it would be a lot less accidents if we had requirements like that here in this state for driving. But I know you're not like me, but somebody will get in front of me and I'm you know, trying to encourage them. I'm doing my best to exhort them to be bold. And then, listen, the Bible says, by the mouth of two or more witnesses, this thing shall be established. And God is speaking to me, and then Lisa goes, listen to him, will you? What's he talking? I got Lisa to the right of me and God above me. Oh. And then I asked to have God to forgive me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Lord, work patience into my life. And we all sin. Here's the difference. Now that you're a Christian, you don't make plans on sinning. You don't embark upon an evening of sin. Come on, let's go. Let's just go sin it up. No, when we did sin it up, we never mentioned the word sin. We justified it. We put it on the calendar. We paid for it. We went out there and made it happen. And if somebody would have said, you're a sinner, I beg your pardon. We justified what we did, but then we met Jesus, and Jesus changed our thinking. He changed our mind. And when that happened, you and I experienced this dramatic relationship of becoming aware of the fact that we dwell in these little part-time tents called our bodies. And they're passing. The Bible calls them tents. We're passing. But the inside of you, think about it, who you are, your dreams, your reason, your logic, your thinking, your passion, you're able to write a song or a poem. that is all connected to the eternal part of who you are. Your soul and your spirit will live forever. Not your body. Not here. And the Bible says our body's perishing. Why is it perishing? Because of sin. We're groaning. It's not only because, listen, all the ramifications. God told Adam and Eve, the day that you eat of this fruit, you will die. But they lived 900 more years. Who's right? God. What happened on the day that they ate of the fruit? They died. But I thought you said they lived 900 years. Did you hear him saying? They instantly died spiritually. And their carnal passions took control. My body wants this. My body wants that. I. Comfort, comfort, comfort. Wealth, wealth, wealth. All these things, not that that's bad, but when it becomes our pursuit, then it's bad. And the Bible says we are spiritually dead toward God. And we need to be, as Jesus said, born again. That is where the spirit that is once alive, now we've inherited this deadness from our mom and dad, Adam and Eve. And Jesus said, you've got to be brought back to life spiritually. And there's only one way for that to happen, and that is to engage in this life of warfare against sin. But listen, how does that happen? By being born again. Brand new life. The Bible says in Galatians 5:17, in the New Living Translation, I'll give it to you that way rather than the King James, it says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. That's the proof of a believer, church. Listen, do you have that, or are you religious? Do you have a passion to follow God? You don't answer, but do answer inside your own mind. Do you have an overwhelming drive to live and to walk with God? If you say yes, then you're a Christian. What makes you a Christian? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit was able to give you that yes, that hunger, that desire. Did you know that? And if inside right now you're saying, well, I don't know, I just do Sunday stuff and you'll be done in an hour and away I go, and I'm just going to live a life that's completely looks just like the world. I talk like the world. I do like the world. And then I'll be back next Sunday. I think about God on Sunday for an hour and a half, and then I won't think about him again until next Sunday for about an hour and a half. You're religious. But you can't call yourself a Christian. There's a war that we're waging against sin, and it's not my brother and my sister, it's me. I am my worst enemy in this war. And that's why the Bible tells us as believers that we need to have our flesh reckoned as crucified before God on a daily basis. And then secondly, we're fighting a war against this world. The verse says in verse 2 here, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. This is pretty amazing. The two English words, earnestly desiring, is one word in Greek. And you might be quite surprised what that word might be. First of all, in its most gentle form, it means to dote upon. What comes to your mind when you see someone doting upon another? To dote. Or to crave. That's a little stronger, is it not? Crave. Craving. Interesting. Look at it now. Craving to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. But the word's even stronger than that. The word means to lust after. God wants the Christian to know that he's a Christian because that Christian lusts for heaven. Man, you Christians always talking about heaven. Always, what a morbid thing. What a morbid thing. Are you kidding me? You like what's going on around this world? We are to lust not only for heaven. It gets even better than that. See the word habitation? That word means a noble residence. Ooh. The word means a well-made dwelling. A house. A house, the word means fixed to a firm foundation versus a tent. Isn't that funny? Think about a tent. Man, you guys, what was it, Thursday morning? The wind hit? Man, I tell you, at 5 15 in the morning, the wind hit, and we had no idea it was coming, and tarps and stuff just went flying by, and I thought, this is perfect, God, for Sunday morning. You warned us with this upcoming message that our tents that we have, these bodies, could be blown away in an instant in the wind. By the way, Carrie, I'm going to butcher his name, I'm sure. If you know it, shout it out. Carrie Ludgriff from the group Kansas. What's his name? Lidgreen, whatever. The guy from Kansas. You know that rock and roll band? Great story. Remember that song, Dust in the Wind? He wrote that song after he'd gotten saved. He wrote the song, and for 1 year in his band, he was struggling with, how do I get out of this lifestyle? And then when he shut the band down, the drummer said, man, I'm so glad you shut this down. Seeing how we're all breaking up, I got to tell you something. Carrie, I'm a Christian. And Carrie said, I'm a Christian. They had both accepted Christ. Neither one had shared the fact. And the group Kansas evaporated, dust in the wind. He was, go read the song or go listen to the song. My pastor said to listen to rock and roll. That song, listen to it. He wrote it after he got saved. And you and I want to, listen, be careful. We want to like root down and hang on. And we've got sand beneath our feet. And we're nailing our tent into the ground. And we think we're going to be here in an immovable way. And a wind is coming. It's called life. And heaven, God's abode. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. Listen to this. I love Romans 8, 22 and 23. Listen. It says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Go ahead and keep the verse up on the screen. I love this verse, verse 22. Look at this. For we know that the whole creation groans. You ever watch the Nature Channel? Animal Planet? You see all the stuff? You see this beautiful gazelle going across the African plain and jumps right into the mouth of a cheetah. Blood, hair, guts flying every which way. People are going, oh, nature. Nature is God, and God is nature, and God is the tree. And God is, look at God. And it's always really cute stuff. God is the bunny and Bambi. God, and God is the birdie. And then as you're watching the beautiful dove fly by, a hawk comes by, and there's a big plume of feathers. If nature's your God, you got a wacko God, man. That's crazy. That's scary. Then why does this stuff happen? Ah, God said, listen, when he made everything, it was very good. Remember that? And then Adam and Eve, mom and dad, came along and blew up the whole thing. They messed it all up and death came into the world. And the Bible tells us that from their sin, death entered in. And listen, the lion. Now look, the Bible says in the millennium when Christ returns. Are you an environmentalist? That's great. Listen, here's the deal. If you're really an environmentalist, you should be a Christian today. And I'll tell you the reason why. The Bible says Jesus comes back and fixes the environment perfect. He so fixes it so perfectly that he even causes thorns to bloom into flowers. So you know where everyone's going to want to drive in the millennium? To the desert. Can you imagine what the desert's going to look like? If a thorn, can you imagine a cactus exploding into a flowery thing? Jesus comes back, he sets the environment right. Now, I'm all for environmental stewardship. Our God made it. We appreciate it the most. But here's the amazing thing to realize. That God did not engineer sin into his creation. That's human doing. You understand that? We have nobody to blame but our human family. And we need Christ to change our hearts. Candy Crowley on CNN News asked a panel, what will change the heart of those who are self-radicalized, what's happening? And Avi Jasser responded and he said, it's not self-radicalization. What happened in Boston was an event caused by Islam, and this guy's a Muslim. The Muslim said was caused by radical Islam. Their hearts were changed and they became terrorists. He said, what has to happen? It's got to happen in the heart. And isn't that an invitation for the gospel? It can change a home, change a marriage, change a child, change a family, change a nation. Jesus Christ, he brings life. But listen, we are fighting against a world And then the third thing is wickedness. Verse 3, we're fighting against wickedness. The Bible says, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Mark that, verse 3. This is exciting stuff. I could stay right here all day. If indeed, watch Paul. Paul is saying, attention, believers, if indeed, you can hear him. Watch, it gets better. Having been, past tense, he's speaking to Christians. Christian, having been, what, clothed, past tense again. Do you hear this? Look, this is the third time I've preached this message today, and I'm more excited about it than ever. So I need you to get excited about it. He is saying to us, Christians, whatever's going on in your life is so powerful. It's got such a grip in your heart that it's past tense, the power of it. Watch this. So, having been clothed, we shall not be found unclothed or naked. This is a great, great guarantee. What does this word mean? Having been clothed, the word means this. If you would put on, because out of the 1610, 1611 English is where this word comes from. But rooted, of course, in the original Greek. Watch this. The word speaks of a lord or of a king over a kingdom or over a realm. Like a lord, like the lord of the house. And he has a valet. And what does he do? The lord stands up and he gets dressed by the valet. Puts on his clothes. I don't know what the deal is with that. I don't know. No one's going to put on my underwear but me. But hey, that's the deal. That's what they did back then. And so the king or the lord was there, and he got all dolled up. And everything gets put on him, and he's all cleaned up and spruced up. This word means this. Watch this. That there is a dressing that is placed upon you. You do nothing. Are you listening? This is so cool. Watch this. Whoever these people are who he's speaking to in Corinth, which he's speaking to us here at Calvary, you stand there, and having received Christ, something like a valet clothes you with a robe that has been given to you. You have not made it. You didn't sew it together. You didn't do anything but receive it. It's placed upon you. Do you see the picture of this forming? It's placed on you. And it announces that you are a child of the Lord of the house. You are identified. Listen, all of King David's daughters, and there are a lot of them walking around Jerusalem. No one, look, you saw her, and that's right there. See her? She's in the marketplace. That's one of David's daughters. She wore a robe that signified that her dad was David. And today you wear a robe if you're a Christian that your dad is Abba.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Tell Me More About Heaven. It's taken from the first 8 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul explains how our bodies in eternity will be different from our temporal earthly bodies. Tell Me More About Heaven is actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse collection of lessons through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And speaking of which, Pastor Jack has a great treatment on this topic on MP3 CD. It's called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? How Do We Get From Here to Heaven on MP3 CD is all yours for your contribution of any amount to this broadcast outreach called Real Radio. How Do We Get From Here to Heaven features a total of 17 messages in all, which focus on the requirements as laid out in Scripture for us to spend eternity with our Creator. Call, click, or write. Just be sure to mention that title by name, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? On MP3 CD. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You'd like to reach us by phone? That's easy. 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to get us by mail, send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.